Father, we pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this is an unexpected honor. Bob is suffering from laryngitis, and he is not faking it. Trust me on that. But having said that, he will be the one who confers the degree upon you all, and he has asked me to take just a few moments and share with you some comments. And I want to pick up on the notion that the gospel laid out there in the Gospel of John, the prologue. I had a professor in seminary who said that the most important sentence in the history of the world was John 1:14, Kai hologos sarx agenata, that the word became flesh, the idea of the incarnation, that God doesn't just give us good advice, that our Lord Jesus Christ is the very incarnation of the living God, and that God comes to us and that he gives his life to us and for us. I want to tell you a story. It's a story that many of you know, and perhaps maybe give you a different way of looking at it. And it's a way that I hope to flesh out that notion of ministry being one of giving oneself as a living sacrifice, which our Lord did. That's the story of Philippians chapter 2 that was read for you just a moment ago. It's a story that's told in 2 Samuel chapter 6. It's not 2 Samuel chapter 6. It's an odd story. It's an odd story of the ark being taken by the Philistines. Excuse me, now I'm losing my voice. It's a story of the ark being taken by the Philistines. They captured it. The word got back to Jerusalem and to the people of Israel that the ark had been taken. Eli dies, and his sons die. His daughter-in-law hears the word in the process of giving birth, and she dies and gives birth to a son whose name is a variation of the word kavod, which in Hebrew means glory. It's ichabod, Ichabod. The glory has departed from Israel. And the ark represented the very presence of God to the people of Israel. It represented the security that they had in him. It represented their personal connection with him. And it was taken from them. It was taken from them, and they were without the presence of the Lord, at least in their own minds, for a period of 7 months, we're told. And we have to wonder what was going through the minds of the people at that point. The last remnant that they had of the previous glory was a little helpless baby named Ichabod, or Ichabod. The glory is gone. That's the only memory that they had. And they had to wonder if God was really a part of their life anymore. That is the situation that many people in your pews, and I'm speaking here to the graduates today, that is the position that many people who come to your church on Sunday morning are going to be in. You may not know the specifics. You may not be able to go through the details with them, but many of them are coming looking to reconnect with the Lord because they feel that somehow, some way, that presence has been gone from their life. And they're looking to reconnect, which is what the word religion means anyway, is to reconnect, religio. And it's your job, it's your high calling, it's your privilege to be able to bring the Lord back into their presence by the way you design and execute your worship. The story, as I'm sure you remember, for those of you who have read it, is the story of how the Philistines discover that it's no great joy to have God on your turf if God's not on your side. And they do a bunch of weird stuff. They create gold tumors and rats and things like that. And they send the ark back to Israel by connecting up a couple of oxen to the cart. They put the ark on the cart and they send the oxen off. They put the oxen's calves in a separate pen. They say, if this is going to be God, it's going to have to be God all the way. The cattle go off, lowing all the way. We are told, moving neither to the right nor to the left. They go straight back to the people. They go over the hill. They show up at a little town called Beth Shemesh. The people recognize that the ark has returned to them. They celebrate, and they take the cart, and they break it up to create a fire, and then they take the oxen, and they kill them, and they give them as a sacrifice to the Lord. Now, question. Who would you rather be in that story? And I would submit to you that the most noble characters in that story are the oxen. And that if you were going to be anybody in that story, you would want to be the oxen. Given the privilege of bringing the Lord to the people who think that he's left them. Turning neither to the right nor to the left. Announcing all the way that the Lord does belong with his people, that the Lord is going to return to his people, and that the Lord has never left his people, and that that period of dryness that they experienced was actually a period in which incredible spiritual warfare was going on, and that the Lord was contending for them the entire time. And you can go back and read the story of Dagon, and he falls down, and they put him back up, and he falls down again, and they put him back up. It's a great story. But that period that they perceived as abandonment and dryness was actually a period of intense spiritual activity on their behalf by the Lord. And the oxen come back and they offer themselves as a sacrifice of praise. The first song you all sang tonight. Beautiful song. Let me be a sacrifice to you. I hope you meant that. I hope you didn't just sing that because it was kind of a sweet song. I hope you meant that part of your high calling of being a servant, which is the highest calling in Scripture, to be a servant, and connects with you on the level that you are called to give yourself as a sacrifice for the praise of the people. That's what Jesus modeled in Philippians chapter 2, and that's why in Philippians chapter 3, when the apostle goes through his educational credentials, he lists all of his degrees. Hebrew of Hebrews, eighth day, Pharisee of Pharisees, all that stuff. All the things that he would put after his name, you know, he says all that stuff is just, and he uses a very colorful phrase, but it basically means all that stuff is just dung compared to knowing Jesus and being able to make him known. My challenge to you tonight, those of you who are graduating, this is a wonderful night to celebrate. It's a wonderful night to celebrate your achievement of becoming masters, some of you. But if you have not mastered the art of serving the people and the Lord, then you have not mastered anything worth knowing. I hope and I trust that part of your education here has taught you that the greatest thing you can master is the art of serving. And those of you tonight who will become doctors, if you do not see your calling as to be doctors for the cure of souls, if you are not those who bring healing, if you are not those who bring the presence of the Lord into the company of the people, then you have missed the point of everything that Bob and his faculty has tried to teach you. We do celebrate your achievement, and it's an incredible achievement, and you've worked very, very hard. I know how hard you've worked. You worked a lot harder for your degree than I worked for mine. I promise you that. But it was all to prepare you to perform the same function that God called a couple of oxen to perform in the Old Testament, and that is to bring the presence of the Lord back to the people who desperately need him so that they can rejoice as you offer yourself, being the first offering and a sacrifice of praise to the Lord who fights spiritual battles for us when we're not even aware of what's going on. I commend you to your high calling of being servants of the people of God.